It's Tuesday afternoon, February 1st, 2022. Lord, we just ask that you'd have your hand upon our meeting today, Lord God, that you would send the Spirit and you would provide anointing to us. Lord, we just ask that you would be amongst us today and that you would continue our journey to know you and to know the real you and to impact on our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
I was so impacted by both my last week ago service and last Sunday's that we went out to a pizza ranch and of course Glenn and Barbara were out there too. But I kept being impacted so much that I cried. I couldn't help it. I wept and I wept and I wept and I wept. And but that's personal because I have known what's going to happen. I can't explain it. And I thought, but at this age, no. I'm not going to be a part of this. Yes, I am. And Brittany and Curtis and Pablo and Candy are still going to be a major part of it. And what I appreciate is I appreciate you guys and your openness to Kurt and to Brittany and so forth and even to Pablo, you know. I thought there might be some whatever, but there isn't. You guys are sweethearts. And so is he. You can remove it if you want.
Okay.
But anyway, I don't want any questions, and there could be, even by what I just said. But we need to pray for him for some deliverance, and he's going to want it. And Jack, would you turn around this way? Don't look back that way. I keep thinking there's somebody out there, and there isn't.
Okay.
Yeah, Chuck, stop looking over there because that's making Grandpa look.
I see his eyeballs, and it looks like he's looking at somebody, you know? And he's not.
If eyes could focus on the shape of a deer.
And he's looking for deer, yeah.
Okay.
And we don't have any around here.
I've been impacted probably in a different way. But last month or two, I've really been impressed on how while we are using each other in the sense of, you know, testifying and prophesying one to another, that we just are not at the same place. And the impact that, or the gain in my walk, I think that's come out of that is I'm much more okay with that than I used to be. Because the more you realize that you're not in control,
yeah.
The Holy Spirit is. And the fact that somebody is off thinking something that's wackadoodle, it's only wackadoodle because you've got some revelation from God that they haven't. Or if you're wackadoodle, and they're over there looking at you being wackadoodle, and it's only because they've got revelation that you don't have. You know, so you have to be really, really good about not judging the fact that somebody somewhere appears to be wackadoodle. Because you have to get back, and we've talked about it many ways, but it's like you just have to be extending patience and grace, which is what the Father extends to us. We are where we are because of what the Father's doing in us at this time.
Yeah.
You know, I do appreciate like I kind of mentioned on Sunday, I do appreciate the faster feedback loop. The Lord is prone to take months, years, millennium to kind of bring me around to where he wants me to get. You guys are pretty quick to go, "What'd you say? No. That usually, I can get that in about the 30 seconds to 2 minute feedback loop, like, and it's out of love because you don't want me sitting there going down this path with this false understanding about something. You know, or we're going to have a discussion, maybe it's not entirely false. There's a sliver of some value in that. But that's what I appreciate so much. But, you know, it kind of goes back to some of the things we've talked about, like, yeah, this is what people think, and I go, if that's all God's given them, that's all they're responsible for. So it doesn't mean I'm going to go along with it, doesn't mean I'm going to, you know, and then you have to, there's a tough line to walk, right, between what you will accept as lack of understanding versus you're just in flat-out deception and you just aren't listening. You know, and where you know, that line is to me, that's the magic, and that's a bad word to use, but that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. Because you just have to be, you know, someone says something and you go, "That's just not where I'm at." And you go, so the question is, and what are you going to do about it? You know, do you crack the hell of Firestone response and say, "How can you look at this and not know that that's what this means?" And you go, "Well, same way I looked at it for 25 years and didn't have a clue either." So you go, "It's God, not me." It's been good in the sense that I have more tolerance for uneven spiritual revelation than I used to. You know, you could wrap other words around it. You know, it took 65 years, but I'm maturing. You know, whatever you want to say, I'll take the shots. But then,
when would you be 65?
I already was.
Oh, you was?
I already was. Yeah. 66 in May. So, and in that day of May, I'm going to be 67.
So you were born in 58?
Six. Born in 56. It'll be 66 on my birthday.
Oh, 66.
66, so yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This is a 2, so 66.
Okay.
Yeah, it's interesting what you're saying, you know, because sometimes I think that I get a revelation, and if I share it, and yet I know most of you people have already found that revelation and are beyond that point, but I just found it, you know. But sometimes you can feel, well, geez, I really want to share this because they all know this already, you know. But I gotta get myself past that point.
Yeah, you know?
The fact that I know it is a big step.
Well, it's good for everybody else to know too, you know, that you know it.
Yeah. And I'm using myself as an example.
Yeah,
it's true.
Well, but it's good because I mean it's like in a way it's like a miracle, right? It's a sign that people can see and recognize that God is moving in your life, and that's a good thing. I mean, there are times when I'm yammering away, and I'm looking at Ken and Charlie, and their eyes are kind of rolling back, and they're going like, oh, yeah. And I talked about this a decade ago, you know. It's really alive for me right now.
Yeah, it's happened. But sometimes you just get a fuller understanding, or an understanding from a different side of it, you know,
mm-hmm. a little deeper.
Yeah, just different ways, colors, you might say, of it, you know.
I think this happened more often than not, actually.
Yeah,
I would say that, because we all don't see it exactly the same, anyways, and we've been talking about a verse or something, and someone will test talk, and someone says something, and then someone goes, you know, I just got a little something on something I, you know, thought I had, and now it's like it's a little bit fuller.
Yeah.
And so, I think you've mentioned it more than once, but I, to your point, please be encouraged by others to share it, because even if it's something that maybe someone else had been given long ago, it could enhance what we think we know.
See, I know where I'm at, and I hear where you're at, but then there's people that I know that aren't where I'm at, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm not judging anybody, I'm just saying, we're not all, like you say, we're not all at the same level, you know.
And that, to me, that's what's the edifying of the body.
Yeah.
Is everyone sharing where they're at? That's edifying.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and not feel guilty because you're not at the point somebody else is at. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem, because you could feel guilty about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But.
I amen to that. I shared this the other day, but I'll maybe in a different way, I'll come back to it. You know, the parable where the owner of the land paid to have people come and work the land, and they came in at 8 o'clock, and he said, "This is what I'm going to pay you." And they went out and they did the work, and at noon he had other people come in, and he said, "This is what I'll pay him," and he's paying them the same as the people who had already been working 4 hours, so I'll pay at the end of the day. And he had some people show up at like the last hour, and he paid them the same. Okay. In the natural, we all go, but that's not fair. I mean, 8 hours versus 4 hours versus 1 hour is not fair. But if you think about it, if it's talking about eternal life, and the reward is eternal life for all 3 sets or 5 sets of those people, and the fact, what you know, what's the message in that parable? Doesn't matter when you get there to agree to do the work, you get the same reward.
Yeah.
Okay. So you think about that, and then you go, okay. And you can flip that around and say, okay, this is where I'm at, and that's where they're at. But I gotta believe, the faith that I have is that it doesn't matter when you got in, God will bring us all to that point. And so keep sharing, because there's a benefit. But the flip side is, Kurt's doing really well. You know, not to puff him up. He's coming in kind of late to the party. And the response I have to have is glory. Not like, yeah, you haven't earned your stripes yet, punk. Get back in the line. Talk to me after 25 years, you know. You can't come in at the last minute and expect. Well, actually, Scripture says, yes, he can. And so, who's got the problem here?
He could surpass us all.
That's right. He could be leading.
Yeah.
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 And so, but the point is, who has to do the work in that situation? I have to be happy about that. Mm-hmm. I have to love my neighbor like myself.
Yes, sir.
You know? So, don't think it happened yet, so don't worry. I mean, in case when it does.
What, you loving your neighbor and me having revelation?
We're getting up to where we haven't happened yet. But don't worry about it. I'll be okay when you
know what? I'm just at my beginning.
I'm saying that out of sheer sarcasm.
Hey, man. I'm the king.
Well, he scared me this morning. I forgot that it was this morning. I got up late. And we're out making some coffee, and I could hear a record of Kurt talking. I can't see him anywhere, but I could hear it. It's in here somewhere. And Chuck is out there, and I said, "Is there somebody over there?" And he said, "No." There was, but he didn't, And I keep hearing Kurt talking, and he's 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 talking. And finally, I couldn't take it. I had to come over here and look, and here he was sitting on the couch reading the scriptures. And and he was reading the scriptures to Brittany, so I could hear his voice. And he was reading the book of Mark or something, I think. And anyway, it was an experience.
We have to be pretty impressed with what he's saying if he was reading pure scripture. You know, that's good stuff.
Well, I couldn't hear what he was reading.
Oh,
no. It's just funny that Chuck was right there and said that there wasn't anybody in here. Me and Brittany were right here.
Oh, I don't think Chuck is always straightforward with Keith. He's kind of making up for some of those other things that happened to him. He says, I'll get you.
Exactly. That's why he always refers to Brittany as Miss Sassy or something like that. He never says her name. But we'll be like, Chuck, who is that? He'd be like, Miss Sassy. And it's like, you know what? It's because when you were a kid, Brittany, you used to be mean to Chuck. I heard a story about one time Chuck choked Brittany or something, or grabbed her because she was sitting there, like, in the middle of the seat of the car, just, like, hitting him, like, hey, Chuck, what? Messing with him, hitting him in the head with a balloon or something. Finally, he grabbed her. I'm like, you know what? He calls you Miss Sassy and whatnot now because he remembers yeah. You whacking him in the head repeatedly with a balloon.
And for all those sins,
what goes around comes around.
It's really easy to just grab them by the throat and they know.
It's probably not the right way to handle that. Yeah. Let's be clear, but you got your point across by then.
You got my throat. You understand every specific detail that come out of your mouth. They understand it, whether they think they do it or not. They understand it.
Yeah, it gets her attention.
Her mother one time hid one of Jesse's special toys here. And that's something that lives on in the memory of, Jesse's mother.
Yeah.
I don't know about Jesse. Maybe Jesse. But anyway. I tell you, these men's meetings are getting a little too popular here. It's hard to find seating.
You know what? If we run out, I'll just chain up Chuck out back. That'll free up the space.
Work it out.
We'll work it out somehow. we'll work it out.
I don't know.
Hey,
God can do anything, right?
God can do anything, seriously. Without them knowing it.
Who's them?
Keith knowing it. What's your name?
Ken.
Don't know.
What's your name? What's your name?
It must be because of the mask.
Glenn.
No,
what's your name?
Corky.
What's your name?
Charles. Just like you.
No way.
That's what we say oftentimes.
They call me Charlie, though. So,
really, Charlie?
Call you Chuck to me Charlie. So,
what's my name?
What's your name?
You know it.
You should know his name.
You know, those kinds of details, Bruce, just don't make sense.
I knew you were going to say that.
What did he say?
Bruce?
Well, maybe he's right.
It could be a Bruce.
I prefer to call you Bruce.
75% of the time he says Bruce or Frank, and then once in a while he'll say my name. Sometimes he'll just read whatever is on my shirt, even if it's like the brand or whatever, or a town like Stanley.
Sure.
Yeah.
What's his name? Yeah, the old guy. What's his name?
Keith.
Right? There you go. Yeah.
You know, in fact, if you only do one name in this room, that's the one to know.
Keith Eugene.
Keith Eugene?
Gun.
Yeah.
Don't tell. You know why they named him Keith? Because they didn't know how to spell Ugh. Is that how it goes?
I didn't know. I couldn't. My mother didn't know how to spell that.
So we were discussing John 17.
Ah, okay.
Has it been?
I bring down the level of the.
Well, no, we had talked about that, and we kind of went through the app to make sure it says there's one true God, and then Jesus was sent by him. And Glenn shared a comment about his sharing his revelations and thinking that we probably already, most of us have that revelation, and we were encouraging him to share that revelation anyways.
Oh, yeah.
As a testimony, because as we've shared revelations, it's enhanced people's revelation that they have anyway. So it's,
that's right. Yes,
so
to get confirmation.
And then Chuck just cracked the key to the point that it threw the entire, it got everybody off.
Yeah.
So we hear revelation. And revelation is in the hands of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, that's right.
You can't get it just by even with a human understanding. And so here we in John 17:3, it says, this is eternal life. So what does that mean? This is the basis for eternal life. That they would know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Now it's in the century version, and you pointed that out. It says, and that they would know Jesus Christ. And that is really what it says when you know as you read it.
Knowing both of those things, right?
Yeah. And so anyway, does that matter?
I think it matters quite a bit.
How about it if it matters 99.99%?
Say round it up to 100.
And see, that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. Because all of a sudden I realize this matters, and this is eternal life. That they would know you, the only true God. I mean, the only true God. What about some of the translations that say in John 1:18? You know, it says, no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, and that's what it says, who himself is God. How did I get in there?
Sounds like someone being helpful.
For a certain cause.
Or what about 1 John 4, where it says, beloved, don't believe every spirit, but try the spirits to see whether they're from God or not. for many false prophets have gone out into the world. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is born in the flesh is from God. Every spirit that does not confess that is not from God. It is the Antichrist. That's what it says.
Mm-hmm.
So, what spirits would say that he wasn't born in the flesh? What would it be?
The spirit of the Antichrist is what you're looking for.
The what?
The spirit of the Antichrist.
Which is what? What spirit would say he's not born in the flesh?
Anyone that's denying his existence.
The Godhead. They're co-equal, co-eternal, co-existent.
Yeah, it's a Trinitarian notion, all right.
Is he born in the flesh then?
Jesus?
No, I'm not according to that doctrine. Is he?
I don't know how you square those two. Maybe they have some way of doing it, but I don't know how they can do it in any way that is
spiritually
satisfactory.
You can't, and I realize, you know, when it says that few there be that find it, there's not too many people that are even talking about what we're talking about. You know? I want to go to heaven.
Yeah, amen. I got something that here this week, or last week, or sometime. You know that scripture, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Yeah.
The hearing is something more than rattling your eardrums. You know, those who have ears, let them hear. I think that it is that faith comes by hearing. Is a spiritual thing that is occurring.
Yeah.
The hearing is it's not mere, you know, having the word register in our brain. It is those who have ears.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
You know, in the book of Revelation, it says to each, I think, of each of the seven churches, it says, he that has an ear.
Mm-hmm.
Let him hear what the Spirit says to the church, or churches.
And it's hearing along those lines that occurs in connection with faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a combination of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. You know.
But
I think it is, you know, what you are hearing is the voice of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. And that's where faith comes from.
I think that's true, but is the inverse also true? If you're listening to the Word of God, but there's no Spirit, you're not getting any faith?
I don't know if I... Probably, you know... Yeah, right.
Now, I know I'm usually contrarian with you, but I wasn't trying to be in this case.
Yeah, no, I guess my answer is, I don't know what would happen there, but I think the meaning of what is, you know, behind that scripture is the hearing with the ears attuned to the Holy Spirit, working of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. I mean, Pablo made the comment in church yesterday or Sunday that it kind of stuck out to me. And we've heard it before, but, you know, he says, well, how do you get faith? By the hearing of the Word of God. You know, he was encouraging to listen to the Word of God. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's good. And, but you kind of expanded on saying, well, hearing the Word of God is nice. Hearing the Word of God with the Holy Spirit is really what you want.
Yeah.
You know, and because Keith had made a comment, you know, you need the Spirit, and I, you know, the contrary to me goes, and there's nothing you can do to do that. Because we don't like that. I think our flesh kind of goes, well, wait a minute. You can't pray enough, listen to the Word of God enough, missionary enough, be kind enough to make the Spirit happen. The Spirit happens when God wants it to happen.
I think that's true, but we can beat out the Holy Spirit, I believe.
oh, we can snub it. But I mean, my point is,
no, we can't make it happen, but we can stop it from happening. We get.
I'm trying, yeah. Because see, I think Christians, I'm not saying us, but in general, they think they by works, so whatever, however you want to describe it, through their works, they can make the Holy Spirit happen. And I need more revelation to buy into that. I don't see that. In fact, I see the opposite. And my concern is that I think people, we just tend to make ourselves too important in this whole situation. It's God's will, not my will. Yet it's my will to listen to the Word of God. It's my will to, you know, put on the armor of God, and it's my will to have a heart for God. And all these things are good, and the Scriptures are clear, but, you know, when you
probably need a little help putting on the armor.
True. No. But I, you know, I listen, you know, you made that comment. Unfortunately, that's the way my brain works. Like, hey, you can't do that. You can't do that. God can do it, but you can't do that. You know, I want to, you know, kind of like, I want to be chosen. And so, in the natural, you go, well, I'm going to do all the things I can to be chosen. And I'm like, I'm not sure I know what that is yet. I don't know what I can do that compels God. I certainly having faith, certainly having a heart for God, certainly listening to the Word of God, certainly asking for the Holy Spirit to come down are all good things, but I don't think there's a, I did this so I know I'm going to be chosen. I can't get there. Now, that might be my lack of understanding, but I don't see it yet. I'd like to see it, because I would do it. If I knew it was like, I checked it off. But I suspect it's the struggle or the effort of trying to get Jesus to say, I know you, versus I don't know you.
You know, that is a hard one, because like any rule, there's exceptions. I'm thinking of the blind guy that heard that Jesus was walking through, and so he made a big commotion. Everyone told him, shush, 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 don't bother. Come on. All that did is encourage him to make more noise.
Mm-hmm.
The man ended up getting his sight. Yeah, he was chosen by Jesus, but he sure put himself in a position to get himself chosen.
Yeah.
Come on, man, get your neighbor, you know.
Amen. Demonstrating faith.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what he was doing.
And the thing is, you know, along that line, if you want to be chosen, you're gonna want to be.
I agree.
Yeah. And you can make a commotion. You can make yourself just real annoying.
And,
you know, speaking after the matter of men.
In a positive way.
Right. Yeah. I how do you sort that stuff out? I have no idea. But I do, I really want to be annoying in that sense in heaven. I want to be annoying that way. I don't know that I am particularly. I think I don't think I bother the angels unduly, but I wish I did.
You haven't made yourself where they can ignore you yet, huh?
I think, whatever.
I appreciate the comment there, because it is, you know, back to what Papa said, you know, faith comes by the hearing of the Word of God, and in Jesus' ministry, oftentimes referred to, your faith has healed you. You know, I mean, he kind of went back like, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
And he said, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Galilee. I mean, he, you know, it was, he basically said, if you have faith, he hears you. He knows you. And I don't think, you know, and so if the Scripture says you could get faith by knowing the Word of God, clearly you want to know the Word of God. Clearly you do. I'm just saying that's not a guarantee, but it's certainly a good step. And that's why I say I'm being somewhat contrary. I mean, I think it's good to try and live your life correctly and know the Word and all of those things that I rattled off. But you got to have, I think, the right heart in it. You know, the miracles that Jesus performed, there was a lot of faith required. The woman with the blood. I mean, he couldn't pretty much tick him off. There was a, you know, even he said, they didn't really have a lot of faith in me, so I left. Yeah.
The one I love is the one that said, the children's bread is for, the bread is for the children, it's not for the dogs. It was a pretty obnoxious thing of him to say to that lady. But then her response, I love her response.
Yeah.
The crumbs that fall from the children's table. I love that response. I think he was deliberately had some sense of this, the level of this woman's faith, and wanted to give her an opportunity to demonstrate it.
Yeah.
So he said that very insulting thing. And she came through.
She wasn't insulted.
No. Or she had things that were more important than any kind of personal.
Well, she had
light or whatever.
She had the revelation that even the crumbs for the dog is worth a lot. And Jesus, knowing that was true, said, because he knew they were, you know, and he says, yeah, your faith has made you. So,
and then the centurion, I can't remember who he wanted healed. It was his son.
His servant. Yeah, a servant.
And he says, I'm not even worthy to talk to you. You know, in essence, that's what he was saying. And but he said, I say to one servant, go, and he goes, another one comes, and he comes. And Jesus recognized what he was saying, because that's who Jesus was. Mm-hmm. He was the mediator. He was the go-between. And people wanted to make him God himself, and he wasn't. He did what God sent him to do. And that's what he said. I was born and I was sent to bear witness to the truth. I didn't know the truth. I mean, he wasn't saying that, but he says that, you know, he wasn't an author of truth.
No.
He was a bearer of truth.
Yeah.
I like that one line where he says, I don't judge you, but the words of God judge you.
Yeah.
And he took himself out of that equation and said, hey,
yeah,
the Father is judging you by his word.
How you been doing, Ken?
Okay. Just sparing the ugliness.
Oh.
It's pretty bad.
Brittany was suggesting that we start the service early, maybe like 10 o'clock, and then worship for a while before we have the regular service. Now, that would, I think it would appeal to a few of her friends, I don't know. But it's a start, you know. We got to do something different than what we have. What we have is fun, is fine. But it's not complete.
What, does it sound as though an hour of music?
I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
Brittany, what she said to me was that she would like to just do worship music, like however you guys did it before. She said she's missed that and thinks it'd be good for the church to do that again. That's my interpretation. I don't know about any of her friends, but I think Angel has mentioned a couple times about wanting to try to do something more, and so has Chelsea, and I don't know if that has nothing to do with it other than just a nice possibility, but I know that she wants to just love the Lord more, and she says that she feels a huge connection with worshiping with music. I don't know, That's not, I haven't never even been to a music worship service. That's all her. I don't know.
Well, music has certainly been a big part of what we have, of our church in years past. It's a big, big part. It was the thing I found one or two, two or three big things that were most appealing to me. I think people's honesty and openness in giving testimonies, that also had a big impact on me. But the music, now, can music is a different deal than what it would have been back at that time, but no, I can see it. I do think that we have demonstrated that no truth, not something that appeals to the senses, even though the spirit can operate in a big way in music ministry, but our allegiance is to the truth, not embellishments on it, you know, on it. I think that is good, but maybe that's good for a season, for, you know, and maybe that season is past. I'm certainly willing to entertain that possibility.
You know what? It doesn't matter to me either way. I'm not the person that thought of it. I don't care either way.
I love to, you know, praying with music. You know, that's been just so good over the years.
Yeah.
Tim, you were gone. We talked about this Sunday night. And I don't know, Glenn, you weren't here, but either of you have a problem with telling people we'll start at 10 and plan on music starting at 10?
Service still at 11?
Well, I think that's more or less kind of a TBD.
Probably, I guess. But
at least for now, I think that's what the thought was.
I think that's what the schedule had been. Music can, you know.
Why don't we bring that up on Sunday morning? And let everybody give an opinion on it. Because you've got Bonnie, you've got Char, I know my wife for one, you know, other people that would be involved in this, I should think would be involved in this decision.
That's true. Now, does that, and that's probably a good idea, Glenn. I don't know it's the end of the world. Come at the same time we've been coming before.
I mean, sure, yeah, open up the church at 10 o'clock. Sure, that's fine. Have it open if people want to go and pray. Yeah. I have nothing, no, you know.
Yeah.
And then maybe it don't matter. And maybe I'm...
No, that's probably a good idea to say something. You know, to sound people out. Just,
you know, because if you can't make it at 10, still come at 11. Yeah, I guess it's okay. Yeah. I'll talk myself into it.
I don't know if Brittany is cracking it so much. Grandpa and Chuck want to be over there at around 10 anyways. That if she's so obsessed about it, if she can go over there and sit there and play music by herself, you know.
I would be happy to be there at 10.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know if I'll be there at 10, but yeah. Somewhere along the way.
Yeah.
Knowing that any time after 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
when we had 300 people attending Sunday mornings and worship started at 10, we rarely had more than 50% of our members there at 10. And we had a hardcore 10 or 20% that would not show up 2 minutes before the sermon started. And that it was that way for decades. So there are some people who really view the musical worship as important, and there's other people that get it. One of the best lines I ever heard that really put a lot of things in perspective was Dale Gunn explaining to me that he didn't need to come to church because he'd heard the message 16 times before Sunday morning. And that's how he justified not being there. I said, oh, okay. Well, it's good to know. He says, yeah, Keith has been preaching this to me all week. He'd be laying trial together. And but, you know, he kind of saw the Sunday thing. And Monday, he heard it pretty rough. And by the time they got done Friday at 4, it had been refined. And Keith had it down. Got it down to that concise, you know, 92-minute So, and they'll say, I'd see him, and the brother would say, so, did we talk about this? I said, yes, we did. Yeah, I've been hearing it. It's pretty good. I said, you put in your time, Dale, and there you are. And he hears it, Dale knows I love that. So, we can talk about it on Sunday, but
it's up to you guys.
There are other people. No. I mean, it'd be interesting. I think we just have to remind people that we probably are the most loose on start times and attendance organization that you're going to run across. So, it's not like if we lock the doors at 10:02 and you got to wait till 11, you know. You're not here by 10:02. You missed that hour.
It's not meant to be an obligation. It's meant to be open to whoever.
Yeah, an edification. Yeah.
You know,
not an obligation.
You don't want it to be.
So I don't see. Maybe I should just withdraw my request, because if it's going to be open, they still come. If they know it's open, they can come right here.
Well, go ahead and withdraw it. I'll renew it myself. So.
Oh, okay. Well, just to let him know for one.
I think there's a few details to be worked out yet as to who's doing what when, and you know, I don't know that we could say on the 13th or whatever it's going to be this way. So, but I think we should let people know that it's been brought up.
What time you turn the heat on?
How's that heat get turned up?
Grandpa turns it on. I take him over there before service every morning, and him and Chuck sit over there for an hour.
Okay, you get it 9:30 or something?
He's not. Hasn't been always over there, but we're probably making a point now.
It's 70 by the time I get there.
Do they leave it on Friday nights when they're done?
It was a whale of an XL energy bill that we had here, and you know, the price of natural gas has doubled, and so
supposedly it's coming down.
Well, that'd be good.
So I heard it's coming down, but it still is like a dollar more per unit than it was like.
Yeah, they have war in Iran or Ukraine. I don't know that the price of natural gas is going to be coming down, but
is that a big supplier of natural gas, Ukraine?
Russia. They talk about Russia turning off the spigot, and so the United States trying to make up the difference for Europe, and so sending a good share of our natural gas over to Europe rather than here.
Mm. Yeah. Yep, long supply and demand. Anyways, it's been raised, and we've chatted about it a little bit, so.
Yeah.
I probably won't be over there at 10:00.
When it gets, as the seasons go on, it's going to get lighter and lighter, and it's going to get warmer and warmer. And maybe as you get into the months ahead here, it might be more advisable to start it at that time. You know, looking, you know, like,
well,
cut the cost of some heat by not having to, you know.
Ken and you had not heard, you know, Brittany sent me a text and talked about this, and I think you should hear my response. I laughed, she said, so what's the chances we could start church earlier? And I wrote back, back, I said, you're giving me way too much credit. I said, that's a decision for the entire eldership. And I said, that said, the music has been pretty spotty, mostly due to the fact that I have not been playing music for the three people that have been there. I said, given Brittany's DJ experience, maybe this would be a ministry that you and your sisters would like to take over. I've been involved with it for the past 35 years, and perhaps it's time for a new direction or a fresh look at things. So my read on that is, if Brittany and her sisters feel really led about that, then they will lead it, and they will find a way to make it work, and they will find a way to be their intent, and they will find a way to have the music that they feel they want. And Brittany said that Candy has a vast library of worship songs, and, you know, I don't know which ones of those would be, you know, I've got 600 songs on one playlist and 120.
That's triple from
120 on the one that I play, because there's 600 Christian songs,
right,
of which I won't play in church.
Yeah.
And then there's 120 that I usually choose from. Mm-hmm. You know. So, but far be it from me to want to extinguish a spark that someone is showing, especially in an area where I acknowledge that I'm pretty tried and true with this, and I, you know, I have a hard time cracking outside of the 50 songs of worship to me, they're ministered to me. I try not to do that, but still. But as Keith said, if this is a way, if there are people that are hungry for this, and we think this is a way to help, not grow membership, but help the Spirit of God move more frequently or in a mightier way, we should want to be doing that. So, I'm open to that. Open to that possibility. So we can certainly talk about it on Sunday. Is this a good place to stop?
Yeah.
Okay. We love you all.
Love you, Kirby.